and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, yesterday, the United Nations agencies UNFPA and UNICEF released the initial findings of a survey on the impact of the MCO on low-income urban families who are living in city council housing projects, or PPR flats. That's Program Perumahan Rakyat. Now, joining us on the show tonight to share a little bit more about the initial findings of the Families on the Edge survey, we have Stephen Barrett. He's the Chief of Social Policy at UNICEF Malaysia. Welcome to the show, Stephen. It's good to have you here. Now, it feels almost intuitive that the most vulnerable segments of society will suffer disproportionately during times of crises. So what did this study surprise you? Were there surprising findings within this study that you that were unexpected to you and the team?
So, first of all, you're right. It is a fact that in crises like this, low-income households are often most affected. And that was the first thing that we found. And the level of impact in terms of unemployment were quite stark. We found around 25% of household heads in these households had lost their jobs or have become unemployed. Or another around 30% of households had had their hours cut. We saw big impacts in terms of food security. Also challenges in accessing education for children in these households. Right. So that was expected to a certain extent, although some of those impacts were starker maybe than we might have expected. If you look at the aggregate picture in the country, of course some of those figures are significantly above what you see in the country more generally. I think the next sort of more surprising thing, or again some people wouldn't have found this surprising, is that female-headed households, single mothers mainly, they were even more greatly affected than the general sample size. So you saw all of those indicators that I was talking about there, even worse in those households, and the children in those households were also more badly affected. But it wasn't all bad news, and I think that was, and I guess this is probably maybe the most surprising element of the study. These families demonstrated a lot of resilience, a lot of dignity, and a lot of ambition to get back to work and to recover after the crisis. And you know, it did really strike us that these are households that are not waiting for handouts. They are looking to work their way out of their situation if they can, but they face very, very significant challenges. 39% of these households contain somebody with disabilities or a chronic illness, and that fundamentally affects the ability of these abilities of these households to work their way out of their current situation.
I mean, what's fascinating, of course, is that the MCO period, the lockdown period, puts the system under stress. So they already existing systems for social safety nets and so on. And you spoke about the resilience of individuals and families, but there's also the question of systems resilience. And I think your report very interestingly points out to what some of the good news, as it were, is that in terms of prenatal and antenatal care, people continued to access that quite well and significantly. But there, of course, all these failures, and some of them predate the MCO period. And how do you, in terms of your study, how do you make sense of that? Are you seeing the MCO lockdown as a kind of experiment, a social experiment at large, that allows you to see whether the system actually works? And therefore, when you think it through, is it the long period, the larger system, that's more important to focus on?
So I certainly wouldn't see it as an experiment. But what you're quite right. What this COVID, the COVID crisis has cast into very stark relief the challenges that pre-existed in many of the systems. And if we look at the social protection system in particular, many countries around the world had a fairly robust social protection system that they could start with. So many countries invested and doubled down on things like their family benefits. They obviously had unemployment insurance schemes and unemployment benefits, disability benefits, pension schemes. Many countries leveraged those as a measure of first resort. Malaysia didn't have many of those things to start off with. So what Malaysia had to do, and it did it very, very quickly, is implement things like the BPN, which our report showed was absolutely critical to mitigating the very worst of the impacts on these families. But it had to be built from, I wouldn't say from scratch, but it was something that had to be initiated. There's a real question over, how efficient that is and whether, more sort of longer term policies that would be
something you said a bit earlier about the low income female headed mm-hmm. households exception they were particularly vulnerable mm-hmm. during this period. Did you find that within the low cost city council flats mm-hmm. that there were more you know female headed households compared and why were they mm-hmm. particularly vulnerable specifically?
So the female-headed households in our sample were, I think, around one in five, I think, which is, I think, somewhat over the national average. In terms of why they are particularly vulnerable, I mean, first of all, they had less access to social protection than male-headed households because of, and that's a common feature of all economies and all societies, women tend to have low access to employment-related social protection for obvious reasons, constraints to female employment. And that's particularly elevated here in Malaysia. We know that the female labour force participation is much lower in Malaysia than other countries, and other aspects. I mean, there's issues of social exclusion and access to
information. The survey found that one in three single mothers lost their jobs during the MCO period.
Yes.
That is a startling figure.
Yes. So many of those women were working in the informal sector, so they didn't have access to formal employment. And when you have an informal, increasing informality in the economy and the workforce, then those households are going to be the ones that bear the brunt in situations like this.
Mm. You know, Melissa, you'd be very interested in the gender pay gap, and I think there's a stark statistic in your report that with the lowering of the average income for households, the difference between men and women was 1,800 to 1,000 in 2019, and then it goes down to 1,200. There's a 675 for women.
Yes.
That's just over half what a man earns. Now that should enrage you. And
it
should. I do
does.
Want to know. So this study, and I know you're kind of halfway through it. Is this really kind of designed to help policymakers think more in more granular fashion about what's happening on the ground and how they might address it?
So the first thing the study is designed to do is to move beyond the aggregate. You know, so at the moment, most of the discussion in the policy sphere focuses on the national level pictures, these aggregate trends. Our first message is we need to dig below the aggregate and look at how is it impacting on low-income households and then looking at female-headed households in particular. That's point number one. Point number two is that the study is designed to follow these households over a number of months, over the recovery period, and that gives us an opportunity to explore some of these issues in more detail, the whys and the wherefores. This first report that we published is the immediate impact of the MCO period, and now what we're doing is we have a mix. The study contains two arms, a quantitative component and a qualitative component, the qualitative component focuses mainly on female-headed households, and that will give us an opportunity to investigate with those households their experience of the crisis. Why are households not accessing programs, services, employment opportunities vis-a-vis others? You
know? Okay, there's a lot to unpack in this report. It is a thick report, even though it's the initial findings, but we're going to take a quick break and come back and continue this conversation with Stephen in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This.